Hey folks, welcome to another episode of New Guy You Stuff. This is your boy Justin. Hope you're doing well. If you haven't already, please go ahead and hit the subscribe button to the podcast so you can catch the latest and greatest episodes as they come out, as frenetically as they do. And at the same time, I'd love to hear from you, get some little feedback, whether it's questions, concerns, you love it or hate it. Go ahead and give me a 5-star rating if you don't mind. Even if it's just to say, hey, this podcast is great, love it, keep it going. Or hey, this podcast stinks, please stop it. 5-star helps me notice it more. It helps other people notice it in general so they can go ahead and leave their feedback too. And of course, feel free to interact with me on Twitter at New Guy You Stuff. And if you have any questions, please go ahead and send them as well to newguyyoustuff@gmail.com. So today, this little episode is for anybody that's interested in selling or is trying to get a boost in selling. Maybe your store, what you're selling so far, is not moving at the rate that it could. Or maybe you're ready to sell, but you're can still use a little bit of advice before you go ahead and list your item wherever you're going to list it. So today's lesson in regards to selling might not make a lot of sense to you at first, but my piece of advice today is that if you're going to sell, it's okay to steal. Now, as weird as that might sound, I like to point back to a nice old fable story of Robin Hood. You guys aren't familiar with Robin Hood. Hopefully most of you are at this point. If you're old enough to listen to this, I'm assuming you are. But for those that aren't hip to it, Robin Hood is a fabled character back from medieval times who considered himself a man of the people. What he did was use his athletic ability, his nimbleness, his wits, his skill to steal from the rich and give to the needy. The reason he did that, of course, is because he felt morally obligated to restore some balance of resources and to a degree power between the ruling class and the peasant working class at that time. Of course, he's a fabled character, so I don't think he really did it, but at the same time, could have been a guy back then named Robin or Roger or Roderick, whatever names back then were to begin for R. He could have been back there doing it. And today, even, you can hear stories of people similar to Robin Hood. Like, you have Anonymous, who hacks the hacker group in Anonymous that hacks rich people or government websites, things like that. People that really seem to be abusing their sets of power. So, again, for the same kind of morally obligated reason for them of trying to restore a little bit of the balance of power or to calm down that abuse. And in both those instances, whether you agree with them or not, whether they're aligned with your morals or not, the reason I'm saying stealing is okay when it comes to selling is not because I want you to go into your nearest Walmart and steal the items you want to sell. I'm not advocating for it. I'm not telling you to what to do in that regard. If you need to go do it, then obviously you're in a situation where you feel life is dictating that you need to do it for some reason. But when it comes to selling, I'm not talking about stealing product. What I am talking about is stealing ideas. If you know anything about art and artists, the big rule, or even innovators, the big rule that a lot of them went by, whether knowingly or not, is that you steal from the greats. When it comes to comedy and stand-up, a lot of the great stand-ups of today have stolen from stand-ups in the past. And I don't mean stolen their material. That'd be like stealing, again, candy or something from Walmart. No, I'm talking about their approach, their ideas, some of their mannerisms even. They've adopted. Maybe adopt is a better word, but I like stealing. Stealing kind of cuts straight to the point, and there's not as much like dancing around. There might be. Sometimes you just need to steal. And it's okay. You guys know Steve Jobs of Apple, he stole. He acknowledged that the great ideas that he's had, or again, some of the more famous people in their fields have had, a lot of them have stolen in some regard. I know I've stolen when it comes to various different things. Not from a Walmart. Family didn't really go to Walmart. But in terms of the comedy, I do. The influences that I have, especially with starting out, you can't help but steal in some degree, because it's your kind of form of flattery, and then also a way of kind of starting out when you don't really know how to start out. And again, this is more so for people that need this advice, because A, they're just starting out and can you feel like they could use a little bit more, or maybe they want to try to boost some sales and they're not sure why things aren't selling. So I'm just going to give you three ideas you could steal or use for theft when it comes to selling things. And again, it's not going to be as bad as it sounds, but it is straight up jacking. And it's okay to jack in this regard, because literally anyone and everyone else on the internet is doing it, and you need to get stuff sold. So don't let a little thing like unnecessary integrity get in the way. It's okay to steal in these regards. So the first way I'm going to tell you to steal, if you're not doing this already, is photos. I'm not saying, again, take the actual photo from another listing and sell it as your own product, especially if you don't have it. What sense does that make? Murderer? Scoundrel? No. What I'm saying is, go look at photos. Or if you can't go look, think about the last time you went to buy something that you didn't see in person at first. More likely, you're on Amazon or another website, and you're looking through the photos of items to see what you might like. I want you to remember two things. One, what kind of backgrounds do they usually have in those photos? The ones especially that draw your eyes to. And if you guessed white, I'm going to say that's the right answer. If you look at most listings on any website, especially more professional websites or like established companies and stuff, they use a very plain white background. Why? Because a clean white anyway, makes it look more professional and just makes it look cleaner of a product. It's not a busy background for one. It's not checkered plaid polka dotted animal print all in one diving between the ocean distracting background. Because when you're selling something, the what you want to sell is the product. You don't want to sell the background unless you're literally just selling backgrounds to photos. I'm assuming you're not. I'm assuming you're probably not selling that. I'm assuming you're selling literally anything else. So thinking about those photos, one, they have a white background generally. And also, if you didn't know, white as a color, as all colors have some sort of meaning, especially when it comes to like favorite colors or like usage of them. You can research this on the internet. But one of the meanings and like symbols that white represents is cleanliness, which is why most, if not all hospitals, you're going to see a lot of white in there, whether it's what the doctor's wearing, the white lab coat or doctor's coat. Or you have the white walls, a lot of just white in there. And that's, again, to highlight or to trigger in your mind, which you subconsciously already know, whether you're aware or not of it, is that white represents cleanliness. And the second thing I'm going to say to look at in the photos when you thinking about, again, the photos you've seen of images or products and stuff you shot for online, what pictures drew you in the most to you? If you can remember, if you're shopping for a shirt, what angles were the photos taken in of the shirt? Was it just one of the front? The front of the shirt? Was there also an image of the back? Did it have angles? Was it folded up? Was it unfolded? Was it buttoned, unbuttoned? Think about the products that you shot for, that you've seen, that you like. And straight up, jack those angles if you haven't done so already when it comes to photos. Like I said in the past, you want to have at least 8 photos. My goal is to have at least 8 to 10 per listing when I use like eBay, or at least 6 when it comes to like Craigslist. Or I think Facebook Marketplace, I've used that a couple times too so far, but maybe like a good 4 to 8, probably around 6 for Facebook Marketplace too. You want to jack those photos and those angles of the angles that the photos were taken, because they work. If you bought the item, even though you might have been looking for it anyway, say you were looking for a shirt specifically from Gap, because, you know, everybody shops at the Gap. Say you're looking at a shirt specifically, you saw it in a store, like, hey, I'm going to go buy it online. If you saw it when you went to go look for online, balled up, wrinkled, stains on it, photos where it was only like half a sleeve in the whole photo, you're probably gonna be less interested in buying. Like, who the hell set up this presentation? And the whole idea about this is just making sure you have a good presentation. So if you're not sure about what items or what items you want to reference, a good idea would be just to go on like an Amazon website, or like a Nike if you're selling clothes, if you're selling technology, go to like a Best Buy, go to literally any other website that sells that product or similar, and see what angles they have the photos for that product in. And use that and copy it when you do your own. Ideally on a white background. If you can't get white, neutral colors are great, especially, I believe, more pastel or light colors. So like a light gray, maybe like a light, like a very faint tan, a very faint blue, a very faint pink, you know what I mean? Faint pastel, something like that. Something, again, that doesn't distract from the object you're trying to sell and presents it in a very enticing / professional way. The second thing I want to talk about stealing is packaging. Now, this is something I've only adopted recently. I said adopted. This is something I only jacked the idea for recently, but it makes total sense. I was listening to another eBay seller on YouTube, and they were talking about one of the pieces of advice they had or given to them, or that they picked up along the way, was packaging. What are you shipping your products out in? Now, again, it depends on what you're selling, especially the more fragile items. You have less, I think, options when it comes to what you can ship things in. But when it comes to things like clothes, when it comes to things like, just anything, really. Think about when you bought those items, or when you have stuff shipped to you. What was the packaging look like? Are they always boxes? If they're not boxes, what kind of envelopes are you getting? So what I decided to do recently, one thing that I saw when it came to like shipping out clothes is why I want to keep them as clean looking as possible. But at the same time, when you're shipping, you know your package could go through the elements at any given point, because especially if you use USPS, they're delivering rain, hail, sleet, or snow. So what I used to do was ship my products out in paper envelopes, mainly because I can get them for super cheap. The problem with that is it's paper, right? So if you're shipping a shirt, yes, it'll fit in there. Yes, it'll conform to the body of the piece of clothing generally. But when it comes to like weather and stuff, paper ain't made to last in snow. It's not made to last in torrential downpours. And I'm not sure how often that happens to you, but that was a concern for me. So what I did is I went and ordered myself some poly mailers. Poly, P-O-L-Y, mailers. If you go search it on eBay, Amazon, if you go to Staples, a lot of different websites will carry it, especially like marketplaces. But what they are, they're essentially thin plasticky mailing envelopes. Usually you'll get these, depending on what you order, from maybe from like Amazon or again just other products online, but mainly I think clothes and things you can just slow, things that you can just kind of throw in that envelope. I got myself a pack of 100 poly mailers. I believe they were size 12 by 15, which fits most of the clothes that I ship when I do ship them and stuff. That ran me, I bought a pack on eBay, I think for like no more than $16, shipping included. So if you break down the price, each mailer is really running me just 16 cents each. And the great thing about them is they're made for all sorts of weather. And the other thing would be that they work just as well as the paper ones. You know what I mean? They stay just as sealed, if not better. They work the same way. They come in various sizes. And they actually might be cheaper too, depending on where you order them from. But the main thing is that they, if you look at when you're ordering stuff online and the way people are shipping things to you, or companies are shipping things to you, it's like you get a lot less paper envelopes. You get a lot more of these poly mailers, which isn't a bad thing. If you're trying to sell stuff and get good feedback and possibly build rapport with customers, why not have a more professional looking envelope? Why not use what the pros use? Poly mailers. So that is something I recently switched to, and there's not a big difference when it comes to having to use that versus like a paper envelope. But I have been getting a little bit more positive feedback in terms of the rate or frequency of feedback I get in general. I think I've gotten, I would say like the last 10 pieces of clothing I shipped in envelopes, paper envelopes, I might have got 3 or 4 responses. And the poly mailers, I've gotten about 6 or 7 so far out of the last, like, actually out of the first like 9 things I shipped on them. So I'm very happy about that, and I do plan on continue using it. So yeah, go get yourself poly mailers. They're cheap, very inexpensive, and get them unless whatever you're selling doesn't fit in it. You know what I mean? If it's fragile, I wouldn't say get it, unless you're gonna wrap it up a lot in bubble wrap and get a poly mailer that's, you know, of course, a little bit bigger to fit it in, so you don't have to worry about squeezing it in there because it is an envelope. But definitely use that. And then the last thing I want to say when it comes to stealing, because we already covered the poly mailers and we already covered the photos, are, maybe you'll do too, but the next thing I want to say is the descriptions. So especially on like eBay, you have a lot of professional like stores selling on eBay. You have a lot of novices or just eBay sellers on there too. When it comes to descriptions, eBay of course is going to pre-fill the description box based on what you put in the title and how you're shipping it. One thing I started doing though was looking at other people selling similar products to me. And one thing I really enjoy when I'm shopping online, especially for something I've never used before or need more information on, is a very informative post. Now, understand that a lot of people are shifting to buying online now, which is why having great pictures are more important, because I don't know about you, but generally, as more people shop online, they're not going to be willing to scroll on their phone as much to read a thorough description versus like having high quality photos. But at the same time, you do need to have the information in the description. So one thing I started doing when it came to like clothes and tech and stuff, I went and saw what other people were putting. And what I would do is take the kind of information they're putting in theirs, and I would just do that for mine. So for like clothes, if it's like measurements, if I already know there are other people selling the same shirt, I want to sell online, I'll look at their post. I'll just copy that information over to some degree. Like the measurements, if it's the same shirt, same size, that's coming over. If it's the type of material and stuff, that's coming over. If you don't know about this option already, and I know this is starting to get a little bit more eBay-centric, but again, that's the main setup I've used. If you search on eBay for an item you're selling, for other people selling it, they have an option under the listing to select sell similar item. In which case, if you have the same exact item as the one you're looking at, then what eBay will do when you hit sell similar item is go ahead and pre-populate a lot of the descriptions and details that the original posting you saw had in there. So like material of the of a piece of clothing, the dimensions, if there's dimensions to it, it'll get pre-populated. And that does save you some time, because the one thing is with eBay, it does take a minute to load up some stuff, especially if you're trying to do it even a little bit professionally or the right way. So that's just with clothes. When it comes to technology, one thing I used to do was take PSPs that weren't working and fix them up and flip them. So what I would do is use the sell similar item, because there's only so many models of PSPs. I would hit sell similar item for the same one in a pre-owned condition. And that would cut out, I think, half of the time really it took to load a new listing. Because the specs are really not going to change, because again, there's so few models. And because I was flipping the amount that I was able to just copy the details I would use in a previous listing into the new one. And there's certain good things to have in there. Like one thing, as I talked about in my recent podcast, was having sold as is in there. I definitely recommend that. Always put sold as is, especially if you're not open to returns. I'm not sure how often this will work in your favor, but the story I had about being able to appeal the eBay decision about a customer refund worked, because I had the product was being sold as is. And as the eBay rep said, because it's being sold as is, they had a chance to ask you about it before they bid or try to purchase it. So I actually was able to appeal my case and get my money back. Rightfully so. Thank you. But in terms of that kind of stuff, having the shipping options in detail, return policies, depending on how in-depth you want to get with this thing and how many things you're selling, those are all great things to consider. But it starts by, again, seeing what other people are who are selling them well and in a professional manner that you would like to see yourself doing it. Copy what they're doing until you figure it out yourself. It's like comedy. Of course, you're going to start out emulating somebody else 9 times out of 10, whether you know it or not. But eventually, the idea is you keep working at it till you figure out how you want to do it. And those influences subtly dissipate out of the style, approach, method that you develop. So yeah, man, those are just three things I would say look into, again, stealing. Photo quality in terms of background and presentation of angles. Talking about shipping professionally and using poly mailers whenever possible, or whatever whatever other options are. Like if you need to use boxes, but of course, you know, if your product doesn't fill up the whole box, put some, you know, bubble wrap in there or newspaper. Just make sure, again, it looks as neat and as professional as possible, because the more professional you look, the more the customer is willing to trust you. It's a good way to build rapport and, again, trust. And like I said, lastly, look at the descriptions, see what other professionals, or either in general, just other people who are selling similar, if not the same items as you wish to sell. Look at their descriptions, see what they put, copy it over if you need to. Because again, at the end of the day, you need items sold, whether it's for a business or you just need to clear some space, you want to try and make some money. You want to sell stuff, and those three things are quick and easy ways you can start looking at transforming the way you're selling into the more ideal way that you wish to sell them, which again will hopefully push the rate of sales and hopefully repeat customers depending on what you're selling. Of course, there are other ways you can steal, but start with those. I might make another podcast, a part two, with three other things you can steal, but those are the three strongest points I can highlight, so start with those. All right, but that being said, this has been another episode of New Guy You Stuff. This weekend, I got to get back to my secondhand Saturdays or Sundays. I think it was Sundays, but I'm going to find some other stuff secondhand to share with you guys that I have. I have plenty around the apartment, but also I see stuff out in the street sometimes, so I'll try to highlight that for you. But yeah, to wrap it up, again, thank you guys for listening. Couldn't do this without you. Whoever you are out there, love to hear from you. Again, hit the Twitter, @NewGuyUStuff. Let me know that you got a pulse. And of course, please, please, please leave a 5-star review, even if it's just to say you love it or you hate it, or to ask me why am I doing it. And if you have questions, feedback, concerns, suggestions, things you'd like to hear about, hit me up on Twitter or newguyyoustuff@gmail.com. Thank you guys for listening again, though. It's your boy, Justin. Please take care until next time and start stealing. Take care, till then.